Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed, and this here is Merrick Larwood. Hello, Merrick.
Hello, David. Hello, film lovers.
Did you have a good Halloween weekend?
I went out the night before.
Yeah.
I'm doing a play at the moment.
How's it going?
I'm an actor. I cannot tell. It is for kids, so no one's really interested.
For our listeners who might want to come and see you
it's
in a play.
It's called I Want My Hat Back. It's on a temporary theatre at the National Theatre. I don't really like theatre, but I don't know if it'd be any good. Probably not. All right. Anyway, and I went out and I got really, really drunk.
All right.
So drunk that, and someone, you know when someone buys you a drink, you say, can I have a Diet Coke? And you mean, I would like a Diet Coke. Not, yeah. I do not want a double vodka and Diet Coke.
Yeah. Oh, somebody got you a...
Someone got
a
me double vodka.
Cheeky.
Yeah. Oh, as in, God. There we go. Well, you're going to now misjudge what you're drinking. Then the shots came out and I did the very first time I puked in the street. I got off the night bus after speaking to a tramp for a while. Got off the bus immediately. Oh, the cold sweat of being on public transport, knowing that you yeah. might well, and 45 minutes all the way back to Crouch End. Literally off the bus.
I don't think I've done that since, you know, possibly since I was 18.
I have not ever done it.
I was sick in an ornamental fountain in the middle of a dance floor in Corfu when I was 18 years old. That was a low.
So if you were...
Presumably it just filtered it round all night, so it became a fountain.
Probably
fountain
still there.
Sick. Probably still is.
If you were in Crouch End on Halloween Day and you went past the newsagents and there was some sort of red wine-ish puke outside, that was me.
Oh.
And then I managed to get into sort of the flowery sort of bush area.
Yeah.
Did a bit there. And several other points.
Spread the wealth. Spread the wealth.
So my Halloween was terrifying.
It does sound horrible.
I was just in bed the whole day.
Wow.
How was yours?
It was all right, yeah. I did a show at the Omnibus Theatre in Clapham.
Oh, you did
I was working, yeah. Improvised seance, we did.
Did you summon any ghosts or ghouls?
We did. We summoned the ghost of Jessica Festoon, played by Suki Webster.
I'm not a real ghost then.
No, it wasn't real.
I don't care then.
It was for comedic effect.
Well, this is not about sick or theatre.
It's often about sick. But no, we're going to try and talk about films. Now, I've been to the cinema this week to see one of the biggest films of recent times, Spectre. Now, before I get into it, it's the James Bond film. Are you a fan of the James Bond films? They're sort of action genre, which you haven't been a fan of in the
when
past.
When I was younger, there are some really good ones. I like Live and Let Die. I think The Spy Who Loved Me is really, really good. I also remember quite liking Timothy Dalton's Living Daylights as well.
Yeah.
I wasn't a big fan of the Brosnan era. And
I was when they first came out, but I think it may have been partially I was the perfect age for Bond and also the N64 game of GoldenEye that we played a lot at school.
One of the greatest games ever.
You know, I was reading about this weirdly, it's a side point, but the multiplayer of GoldenEye was added as an afterthought and took them about 2 days to implement.
We played at universities, I'm old, really, aren't I? So yeah. We're at university playing that stuff.
I was in college, like sixth form college.
Yeah, great. So, Bond, as a... I am... As regulars as all know, I'm an arsehole. And I don't like action films. And with Bond, they've sort of tried... Skyfall, the previous one, I found really weird. And didn't sit right. I love, what's his name, the villain...
In this one or Skyfall? The other one. Christoph Waltz?
No, in the previous one.
Javier Bardem?
Not used enough.
No, not at all.
And they made it all about... I think we probably talked... We were probably reviewing,
yeah,
didn't we?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was all about that whole weird sort of Freudian mum thing with M. And I just sort of just...
Freudian,
do you know what?
It's called
the Freudian mum thing.
That was the theme tune, wasn't it?
What was it?
It was loads of sexy silhouettes of mums. Dancing at the beginning.
I was going to say Hoovering, that'd be really sexist.
No, it was Adele did Skyfall, and then it's that Sam Smith bloke did the one for this. Anyway, Spectre is the fourth Daniel Craig Bond film.
Yeah.
And since Casino Royale, they've actually been doing a sort of canon, which Bond never did before, as in they link into each other. So this one links into Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace and Skyfall. Creating some kind, you know, it's trying to create a cinematic universe, I guess,
and
like Marvel does.
Thingy jobs.
It's Sam Mendes again of American Beauty fame. Now, Spectre is about Bond finally getting to the bottom of the shadowy organisation that seems to actually have been pulling the strings since Casino Royale, and it's headed up by a character called Oppenhauser, played by Christoph Waltz.
Is he not seen much in it?
He's not. He is the villain. He's a really good villain, and he gets exactly the same number of scenes as Javier Bardem in Skyfall.
No.
He's not in it enough.
I've heard this is first half good, second half shit from several sources.
I wouldn't say that at all. I would say, I mean, do we want spoilers or not?
It doesn't really matter. Is it long? It's 3 hours, right?
I don't remember. It flew by, to be honest. But, I mean, a friend of mine, actually, on Facebook, I think summed it up perfectly, which is, there's a lot to like, Inspector. There is nothing to love. And it's... I was trying to get to the bottom of why. You know, it was diverting, it was fun, it was undeniably stylish. It was doing Bond correctly. You know, there's been ones, especially in the Brosnan era, that just weren't Bond. Die Another Day is not only one of the worst films ever made, it's also not a Bond film in a lot of ways. It's just nonsense. It's completely lost the plot on that one. And so they quite rightly started again with a brand new style. This one is 100% Bond, but it's doing nothing new. And you can count the references to old Bond films in each scene. You know, it starts with a massive Day of the Dead festival in Mexico, which is very reminiscent of Live and Let Die, you know, the whole Baron Samedi voodoo skull mask funeral stuff. It's very similar. And there's a fight on a train, which is very like From Russia with Love. And there's just loads of it. It's just, Bond. That's Bond. That's Bond there. There's some Bond stuff. It's enjoyable. But it is recycling its own ideas now. And there isn't a standout action sequence where you go, oh, yeah. I mean, I rewatched Quantum of Solace recently just because it was on telly. They did that thing of before the launch of the new film, they put all of the previous ones on. And people slagged off Quantum of Solace. Not that bad. I think the story, we all slagged it off for being incoherent in the story at the time. The story is more coherent than Skyfall and has an incredible sequence that in the opera house. Do you remember that one in it? Brilliant. So clever, and you've never seen it before. Like, it's great. This has sort of none of that. Like, even they make more of a character of Q, who's brilliantly played by Ben Whishaw, and he actually ends up in the field and gets into a bit of trouble. This isn't really a spoiler. And the only way and you go, wow, Q has to now get out of trouble, what's he going to do? And what he does is he pushes through a crowd of students and then hides behind a door. And you're like, are you supposed to be a genius? Could you not come up with anything more fun than that?
Couldn't he have used maths?
Possibly used maths. There's also, as well, a piece of stupid science to rival even the fingerprinting scene in The Dark Knight. I might be going too niche here.
This is too niche, mate.
Do you remember Dark Knight when
he manages
to read a fingerprint from a bullet hole? As in, reverse engineer the bullet and therefore the fingerprint that must have been on the bullet from the hole in the wall. It's complete gibberish. Anyway, there's a DNA sequencing scene in this week to rival even that. So it's got its problems, but it feels like a modern film, a modern blockbuster film, in that it's just doing, what do people want? Oh, we'll give them that. Get the most stylish director to make it look good and not sound stupid. And then we'll give them what they've already had before. They'll shit it back out after having a lovely meal of Bond. We'll filter it a bit, put it into ice cube trays, and then feed it back to them again.
Yeah, I just think they'll feel really instantly forgettable to me, the Bond films. I sort of go in there and just feel so convoluted.
Yeah.
What were the Bond girls like?
They had severe problems from the screenplay's point of view. So, Lea Seydoux
she's beautiful
and a very good actress, is given very, very little to do. Her character is, she's the one who tags along for the ride, like is often the way in the Bond films. There's a first act shag without consequence lady played
about condoms
I don't know, you don't see that close, but
then it must have been with condoms if it's without consequences,
presumably. Although it was, what's her name, The actress who's in it famously and is Bond's age, is the thing they were actually excited about. Monica Bellucci. So she's that conquest at the beginning, just to have a sexy scene, and then they move on. And Lea Seydoux, is it Seydorf or Seydeux? I don't know.
Seydorf he's a Dutch football player.
Okay, it's probably that then. She's basically just capable, a tiny bit feisty, but doesn't really do anything. Like, so many just underwritten characters that don't need to be there.
Me in real life.
That's right. She reminded me a lot of you all the way through, actually.
If you replaced her with a bald, tired, bald man.
Yeah. There was a moment, actually, where she stood next to a meteorite, and I thought, those could be Marek's parents there.
Yeah.
Her and a big lump of rock.
What do you mean?
From space, you know, exciting.
Well, like an alien.
The shape, you know. She's slightly more feminine than you. Slightly.
I feel like we're staying on topic.
So anyway, if you like Bond and you're not bothered too much by seeing stuff you've seen before, then it's good. But it's also, if you have problems with the new style of doing franchises.
Yeah.
Which, if you think back to the 80s, when sort of this sort of idea was born, and you would, when sequels had numbers, you know, like you had Rocky 2 and Rocky 3, and you're like, oh, it's another story with Rocky, and it takes it on a bit further, but we don't know what's going to happen, and they don't, and you know, it's the same again, another baddie, blah blah blah. And now the modern way of doing it is just rehashing the old ones. And do, like, I could not stand the Star Trek films for just reusing and reusing and reusing, rather than just being creative.
What's going to be like in 30 years? I've got a point to make about the Bond film.
Yeah.
I didn't go and see it because you were going to go and see it. So yeah. I was looking for another film to see. As regular listeners will know, I live in a sort of North London area. But both the cinemas I'm equidistant between were totally Spectre dominated.
Right.
So they had three screens and a two screens one. And I didn't. And they were taking over the whole. It was The Martian, which I've already seen.
Yeah.
Something else, which I've already seen, and just Spectre on all three. So it's really fascinating.
Yeah.
Nothing was put up against. It was like, well, Spectre's gonna. Everyone's gonna go and see this, and we're not gonna give you any other choice.
Yeah.
You're gonna just watch that.
Yeah. I mean, it's gonna be fascinating when Star Wars comes out, which is the only other title anticipated to do better than Spectre.
But they were
just
putting
it
on all screens, weren't they?
They will, but who's gonna go up against it?
Yeah.
Would you put The Bumming Man up against...
The Bumming Man?
Up against Star Wars? Well, you'd be a fool
ready.
To.
I don't know if it'd be ready yet for December.
Sure, but, you know, up against Star Wars 9, would you do that?
Star Wars 9, I think I'd be ready for The Bumming Man.
All right. So...
And The Bumming Man, is basically, he's a stormtrooper who's gone AWOL.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh no, they've stolen your idea.
What do you mean? Who?
I'm pretty sure that's what Star Wars is about.
You are kidding me. That's the bumming man.
I tell you what, actually, it's funny you say this, but me and a friend called Martin White, who is a creative genius, he's
not the bumming man.
He's not. But he's a composer, but he also does animation. We've been playing around with a sci-fi animation idea in our spare time, and I wrote these characters, and he animated them of this scavenger guy who lives in space and has a rolling ball robot that tools come out of. And then as soon as Martin had spent all of that time rendering it, lo and behold, the trailer for the new Star Wars comes out, and it's even the same colour as our one.
Shit. Stuff he's done at home is probably equally as good, though, right?
Oh, yeah, it's exactly the same quality. Yeah, so...
How many Davies do you give Spectre?
Oh, it's tough. I mean, it's incredibly competent, and it didn't bore me. It's just there's something more rotten at the core of all of this stuff. I think a 6.
6?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's probably worth more than that, but... I don't like the way that things are getting less and less creative.
I've been saying this for ages.
I think films are more and more feel like they've been created by people who do adverts and music videos rather than tell stories for a living.
I've started reading books instead.
You started?
Yeah.
You're never too late to start, is it? It's never too late to start.
Do you know what my favourite time is, though?
What's that?
Email time.
Okay. That was a good link.
Yeah. Simon Iberson, or Eberson, has written in.
Right. What's he want?
Well, I'll read it now.
Okay.
Hello, Marek, buddy, and thingy.
Oh, that's nice.
That must be you.
That must be me. Well, it might not be.
You mentioned last week, this is quite a few weeks ago, so this is beyond last week.
Yeah.
Of changing it. Someone hurting a dog on film as an example of lazy screenwriting.
Mm-hmm.
These remind me of various hack things. One is the obvious waking up surrounded by bottles for an alcoholic. Another that really annoys me is when a screenwriter wants to tell you subtly what the decade it is and shows you a TV with relevant American president on. Got any others? I will keep watching the films. Simon, IMDb score 2.
That's an excellent IMDb score. Yes, no, it's very true, isn't it? The alcoholic waking up in their own bed, but with just bottles everywhere.
That one
is brilliant.
Or sitting at the corner, any time someone's in a corner of a bar.
Yep. Look, the tramp looking at the bottle of booze in their hand after they've seen a car chase go past,
yeah,
and just shaking their head as if it's the booze talking.
Anyone who gets pills out to say they're going for a mental breakdown.
Sure.
I mean, who gets... Everyone gets... They don't get the pills out and go, I'll have that in the morning. Like, a normal person would go, I'll have that, when I have a drink of water, I'll get out in the morning. They surreptitiously get the pills out as if they're... It's never... Right, I'm going to take a pill like a normal person would. I open the bottle, put it in my hand, done. Yeah. It's always slightly shaking.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to take this pill now.
It's not lazy screenwriting. It's actually probably adept screenwriting. But the... having two characters have a pointless lovely moment just before something terrible happens, before one of them dies, is actually what it is. You know, where you wake up whilst you're watching the film, you go, why are they having this lovely chat about, oh, he's going to die in a bit?
Sometimes when they get into cars, you know the car's going to crash if they're not going somewhere.
What do you think it is about that?
I don't know why, but remember this is more TV, in Neighbours. In the 1980s, the sitcom, every time they got in a car, because it was more expensive to film on the trailer,
yeah,
it was only a car crash scene.
Terrible. Ramsay Street.
Yeah.
I mean, very quiet most of the time, but those cars come out of nowhere.
Fridge doors.
What about fridge doors?
Anyone who opens a fridge door at night.
Oh, we were talking about that with Danielle Ward in Halloween, about the R. White's advert.
About anything behind a fridge door. One out of five people, one out of two times, anyone opens the fridge door in a film.
You weren't here when I gave the results of watching The Drop. The dog survived, by the way. That was
really
what brought up this conversation in the first place. Yeah, it was the film The Drop, but the dog did not die in that film. Spoilers.
Do you want to read one?
Sure. Why did you say it like that?
I started saying it and yeah. I didn't commit to it properly. What I want to do is to make our listeners feel more comfortable with not being able to speak properly by not speaking properly on this podcast. I think it's working well.
Well, this person is John Sapier or John Sapier, I'm not sure.
John Sapier.
Sapier. Is that right?
I don't know. Which one would you have?
I like Sapier.
Yeah, it's much better, it's isn't
good.
It?
He doesn't want an accent. He hates the fucking accent.
All right, John Sapier.
And I will read it like this. Hi, David, Marek and Buddy. Long time listener, but first time writing. IMDb score 9. And that's not changing anytime soon, as I don't intend to watch any Lord of the Rings films. I recently went to watch Straight Out of Compton at the Cinema City in Norwich, and to my delight was the only person in the cinema. Who would have thought it? Gangster rap not so big in Norwich. It's a great feeling to get a private screening, and this has happened to me twice, but not for a while. The Rock and Red Dragon previously. Have you ever found yourselves alone in the cinema? As to the film, you'd have to like the music to get the maximum out of it, but I do so really enjoyed it. The young cast are excellent, and although a few incidents are clearly adapted for dramatic purposes, it doesn't spoil things and keeps the narrative going nicely. 7 Johns! Keep watching the films! Thank you, John. Straight Out of Compton, neither of us saw that, did we?
No, I hate rap and all that shit.
Do you? I watched Honey, I Blew Up the Kids alone in a cinema when that came out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was no one else there.
I've seen quite a lot, and it might as well recently, over the last 3 or 4 years.
You just have to go to see something that isn't, that hasn't been hyped beyond all recognition.
Normally come out on Thursday, not been hyped. Go on Monday or Tuesday morning, if there's an early showing, generally. But even if in the summer, there's no one there.
I saw Spectre in the Screen on the Green in Islington. Have you been there?
It's now an Everyman one, isn't it?
It's an Everyman one.
I used to go when it was really crap before that.
Yeah, but it's got nice seats with a bar at the back.
Yeah, you know? They bring you food, don't they? It's a bit weird.
They can do. It's got little small tables in between, but I quite like that experience.
Well done you, Screen on the Green.
Well, it's the kind of place that isn't going to have pricks in it. We might have pricks, but they'll be old pricks. So not noisy pricks, which is the problem.
Middle class pricks.
Yeah, but they just sit in the dark being middle class. That's fine. Fine by me. Is there anyone else who's written in?
Yeah, Scott Mitchell.
Scott Mitchell.
Hi, hello, David and Marek. I sent this question before, but as you made a recent call out for more correspondence, I'm hoping you're a bit more desperate this time. Now I have a chance, as it was 2014 when I originally sent this. I've grayed out the parts and messages that are no longer relevant. Sorry we missed your... Occasionally we bite purely through admin problems. We might not read them out.
Yeah. We're very busy people.
Dear David and Marek, Singaporean accent please.
Oh.
It's a lot of expats, so I'm just going to do my own. Hello from sunny Singapore. Musicals have been mentioned in the last couple of episodes. Which bits am I supposed to read?
He's greyed out the bits you're not supposed
to. What are your favourite musicals? Mine is the aforementioned Blues Brothers. I'm messing it up already. It's the first movie I ever saw on VHS, and it turned me into a movie fan at a very young age. He's 41 now. I've deliberately avoided watching Blues Brothers 2000, as the reviews were so bad, I did not want it to take my feelings for the first. So to my second question. Is there a sequel or another version of the same story, e.g. Batman, Robin Hood, The Great Gatsby, you have avoided because you love the original so much? Finally, my fiancé was partner, now it's his fiancé, since in the year.
Hey!
Corrine believes Grease 2 is far superior to Grease. She's clearly wrong. Are there any sequels that you prefer to the original story? I look forward to hearing 1, 9, or all of the questions read out on the show. Keep up the good work, regards Scott. Well, Scott, you got all of them.
So, what was the first question?
Favourite musicals.
Favourite musicals. Hedwig and the Angry Inch, South Park, Bigger, Longer, Uncut, and Cabaret.
Okay. I quite like Little Shop of Horrors.
That's great as well.
And
any others? Are you a musicals fan?
Bernard? No, but I do like Grease.
Grease. It's all right. Quite like Grease. I've not seen Grease 2. I can't account for it being better. It does have Michelle Pfeiffer in it, though, who is a lot better than John Travolta.
I have seen it a long, long time ago. I don't think... The songs are so good in the original Grease. You've got some brilliant ones there. And that's what it's about, really.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that... who's the one who... I can't remember their names.
Who?
The one who plays when he gets pregnant in the original Grease. Shags Kanicki or something.
Yeah, yeah. Her name is Stockard Channing is the actress.
Yeah, she's very good.
She's great. She plays the president's wife in The West Wing.
Yes,
she's excellent.
Next question.
Rizzo.
Rizzo. Yeah. Have you? Okay. Have you avoided watching a sequel because you want to ruin the original one?
I usually am an idiot and go and see them anyway, and then regret it. I'm trying to think if I've ever not gone to a sequel. No, I'm an idiot. I went to Prometheus, and that was toss.
Yeah.
But sometimes you're not to know. You know, I don't think any of us can be blamed for going to The Matrix 2, whatever it was called, Reloaded, because the first one was great, and the second one was just like... Oh.
Controversially, I think Back to the Future, top 10, maybe top 20 film.
Yep.
Should have left it.
You didn't like the second and third?
They're all right, but the first one's an absolute classic.
I agree, but I think the second and third are... They're adept sequels. They don't screw it all up, do they?
You don't need it. The first one's almost perfect film.
It is. I mean, what they did cleverly was not make the sequels stand alone. Like, it's like extensions of the first one, isn't it? Rather than the first one again.
Jaws 2 is still watchable. Jaws 3,
yeah. I can't remember ever going, I'm not going to go to this because it will spoil my memory. I went to see Indiana Jones Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Fucking trousers. I now don't want to watch Indiana Jones anymore.
Yeah, but it does taint it.
It taints it. Will you go and see the Blade Runner sequel when that comes out?
I wish they hadn't touched it.
I know, but they're gonna touch all your things.
What was the last question? Are there any sequels that you prefer to the original story?
Ooh. You are right, whilst I remember, don't ever see Blues Brothers 2000. It is not worth your time. You may as well just sit there for 2 hours and think about your life. It would be more valuable.
I loved 21 Jump Street. 22 Jump Street is shit.
Yeah. Any sequels that are better? They must exist.
I always think of the Aliens, but it's not as good. I prefer Alien to Aliens.
Some people prefer the second Austin Powers film, but it's basically a remake of the first with more money, so there's a reason for that, really.
Superman 2.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good shout. Star Trek 2?
Really watch the Star Trek one, is it?
Which one's... I forget which 2 is. Anyway, I'm not really good on that stuff. The first one's bollocks, is what I remember, anyway.
Mad Max 2.
Mad Max 2 is a lot better. Road Warrior.
Okay. I was thinking about remakes. Most remakes are shit, but the one I gave up on watching the original thing, The Thing.
I've never seen the original.
I started watching 20 minutes
ago. How similar is it?
No, it was just weird black and white, and it was nothing like it.
Is it set in an Arctic research station?
Yeah, but I literally watched 15 minutes and I thought, no, I'm gonna watch The Thing again.
A phenomenal piece of work.
Top 10.
Yeah.
One of the greatest ever.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Okay, is that one more email? Let's go for one more, because it's nice to read, isn't it?
Oh, it's always nice to read, yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
What?
It's Gary Lord.
It's Gary Lord. Okay. What does G Lord want us to read this out as? From Stoke-on-Trent and now live on the Isle of Man. Does that help you, Marek? Any ideas there? What would that sound like?
Stoke is just Midlands, isn't it?
Is it? What's the Isle of Man accent?
I'm not from the Isle of Man, I'm from the Isle of Wight.
I know you are, but you know, you Islanders
just do Liverpool.
Oh, shit at Liverpool.
Somewhere in between. Don't do an accent. Just do it normal, because that bloke doesn't like him.
I'm boring myself now. Dear Marek and David, I seem to remember you doing a show where you talked about how prior knowledge of a film location can affect your enjoyment of that film. I live a few minutes away from the main location of the Thomas the Tank Engine movie. The Magic Railroad. This is a terrible movie, but I have two young boys who love it. Half the movie is filmed on the Isle of Man, and the other somewhere in the USA. I'm certain that you'd be able to tell that these are two different continents, even if you didn't know the Isle of Man. Don't bother watching it, though. There's loads of films made here, and it's really nice. I was at a wedding a few years ago in England, and got speaking to a girl who, when she asked me where I was living, said that she had been making a film over here with Stephen Fry, and they had been laughing about how weird the island is. I think it was probably bollocks, but it unreasonably put me off Stephen Fry. Also, I heard Felicity Jones on the Commode and Mayo show slag the island off, which is rich, given that Commode's family are from here. It makes me unreasonably think she's a dick too. Have either of you been unfairly put off a movie star because of a story or fact you have heard about them? Keep up the good work, and my film recommendation, which is showing currently on Netflix, is Housebound. I know Marek is not a huge fan of What We Do in the Shadows, but this is another New Zealand horror comedy, which is both funny and scary. I give it 8 Garys. Regards, Gary. Thank you, Gary Lord. Ever heard anything about someone and it's really put you off them?
Yeah, this is like industry gossip, but you can say that someone's a...
Sure, but well, if you've heard about anyone you've not met...
Rumours about people...
I mean, I was such a fan of the acting work of Jenny McCarthy until I heard that she was a immunisation denier.
Yeah, it's tough when you find that they're really right. I don't like.
Oh, Kelsey Grammer, I've heard, is really right wing.
Oh, really?
That really bothered me because I love Frasier. It's not that it put me off Expendables 3 or Up Periscope. He's not really made any good films. But, you know, that's odd.
Like when you see Charlton Heston in Bowling for Columbine, immediately I think that's... He's so... I do think that... What's his name? Is a bit of a dick in it.
Michael Moore.
Yeah. But it puts you off him, Charlton Heston, forever.
Yeah.
I just think you don't want to get involved in politics if you're an actor, really. Become too much of a... When they come to terms with personalities, it spoils it. Nicole Kidman, it's sort of, her general demeanour in interviews, when they take themselves so seriously, it puts me off them. One thing was, I said this before, the director of Drive.
Yes.
I saw an interview with him. He is, I'll tell you his name. I was a huge fan of Drive, one of the best films of the year. His name's Nicholas Windling Refn or something. I saw sort of, I've read a few interviews and seen him being interviewed. He's probably the biggest penis I've ever seen talk out loud.
That's
so up his own arse. If he's listening to this, you are a fucking dick. I can't believe you made such a great film because you are the biggest dick I've ever seen talk on camera. I feel that strongly about him.
Wow, I'm going to look him up now. I want to see what he's like.
He is a knob. And that put me off Drive a little bit, which is a shame.
That is a shame.
And talking of people, but Carey Mulligan's face has put me off her a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean that's not something you've heard about her.
No, the Mulligan expression.
Okay.
The Mulligans didn't work for them, but she'll do that Mulligan. She'll do that sort of half smile, looking into distance thing.
Yeah.
That look at least 18 times in a film.
Oh.
I'm not saying I've got any range. But
you can't even do the Mulligan.
I can't even do a Mulligan.
Yeah.
Well, I better get on. We talked about dogs, didn't we?
Yes, we did, about killing off dogs in films.
Well, I watched a film that I wanted to see come out in the cinema, but because it was a foreign film, it was out for approximately one day last year.
Yeah.
On an obscure cinema, but it got good recommendations. It's called White God.
White God. Okay, what's it about?
It's about a bloody dog.
Sounds brilliant.
It is a film, and the lead actor is a bloody dog.
Now, hang on. This genre has a lot of films in it, though, doesn't it? You know, Soccer Dog, the Air Buddies movies, Cujo.
I don't even know where it is from. It's a foreign film, and it's okay. So what happens is this girl, her parents are divorced, and her mum's going away, and she's got to live with her dad, who's he is not very nice. It's Hungarian, this film.
Okay.
She's got to live with him, and she wants to take her dog with her, and he, for some reason, in Hungary, someone complains about this dog to, he's the one in the flat, someone complains about this dog to the local government dog inspector, and he won't pay this tax, so the dog has to get abandoned, basically. He forces her to get rid of the dog.
Oh.
And she spends the whole time searching for this dog, which is the one person she loved and trusted, and it was a really nice dog at the start. And then the dog goes through the horror story of like meeting nasty people who abuse it, train it to fight, blah blah blah, and then it sort of turns and gets its revenge. It's a flawed film, but it's it won the dogs in the film were awarded the Palm Dog Award.
Is that a thing, or was it created for white gods?
It is awarded
the Palm Dog
to the best performance by canine, live or animated, or group of canines during the Cannes Film Festival.
So hang on, is it the Palm Dog or the Palm Dog?
No, it's the Palm Dog.
Palm Dog?
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
Now, the dog in this...
It's two different languages.
The dog in this is brilliant.
Okay.
Which makes you think... So the dog is the...
Has he been in anything else that I've seen?
No. I don't think so.
Okay.
He's...
I like it when they use an unknown dog, because otherwise watch it, I go, that's not who he is.
He's an unknown dog. He plays scared,
yep.
He plays loving, he plays upset, he plays growling. He's got more range than me.
Okay.
And it makes me think, if they somehow managed, by editing,
yeah,
to give this dog this range,
then maybe an editor could do it for you.
How hard is acting?
Well, I can tell you from experience, I've made two short films with my dog.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, the concept of make-believe is beyond a dog. It doesn't know that stuff isn't real ever. I've recently been doing stage fighting as a thing to do of an evening. Really good fun, by the way. Swords and punching and all of that. Don't practice it around your dog. It doesn't know you're not punching your girlfriend in the face. Yeah, like, they don't get it. And so anything
So when you punched Danielle in the face...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was Buddy's reaction?
Well, he was like, guys, what's going on? Like, he wasn't into it at all. Anyway, so I think dogs are the perfect comedians because everything they do is real and it's all as dumb as hell. Like, we can only aspire to be as naturally funny as most animals are, because when we're trying hard, that's not funny. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, if they can manage to film the shots they need to tell the story, I think it's going to be charming, isn't it?
Well, it's quite a dark film.
Right.
It's quite bleak, and it's not a happy dog film. But it makes you think it must have been a pain in the ass to film, or there's lots of other dogs in it, and trying to get a story.
Yeah.
Half the film, I'm watching it, thinking, how long did it take to do that? How did you get the dog to do that?
The answer to all of that question is always, hold a piece of hot dog behind the camera.
How many sausages did this
My
film
short
take?
Film took, I think, four hot dogs.
And can we say sausages?
Sausages. Four sausages.
So a feature film I was
very efficient with the filming. Once we'd got it once, I moved on. So they wouldn't do that with a feature because it's too risky. So I would say that dog has probably consumed,
there must have been a huge sausage budget on this.
Huge amount of sausage.
Well, it's a Hungarian film.
The dog wasn't very Hungarian after making it.
No.
I would have thought from the sausages.
I think it's really nice to watch a film where it's about the dogs. It was just too bleak. It was more. I don't know whether I associate dogs films with being happier films.
How did you know the dog was a good guy? Did they have him save a cat near the beginning?
No, but it was all about a dog story and how a dog changed and the dog hated man by the end of it.
Wow.
I enjoyed it. It wasn't, but I give it 5 Mareks, but it was still ambitious. Probably quite a low budget thing. But if you want to watch a film without people, or I just think that dogs need more opportunity, more screen time, because they're a lot of them are better actors.
Well, hopefully, now he's won this Palm Dog, he will be in more things. But it doesn't always work like that, does it? I mean, if you think of Jean Dujardin, he won an Oscar and he's not been in any dog films recently.
It says here that there was two, Body and Luke play. There was two dogs playing the...
Wow.
Oh, here we go. I'm looking at the dog now on IMDb, the main dog. He's named Body, but I'm sure it's pronounced Bodie.
Bodie.
He's won the Palm Dog Award. The trivia, it says he's a dog. That's all it says about him. You might as well retire there.
Is he top billing on IMDb for that film?
Well, there's two. And both Bodie and Luke, they haven't gone on to do anything since.
Wow, what? How old are they?
I don't know.
Are they dead yet?
No, they're still alive. Well, fingers crossed they'll still go on. Okay, so that's about it, isn't it?
I guess that's about it. So there's a film about a man and a film about a dog. Like, that's a good double bill, isn't it?
I think Buddy would enjoy this film.
It's odd what he does enjoy watching. You can tell good sound mixing, because when there's a bark on the telly and he reacts, that you know, oh, it must sound like an actual dog. And when it's, sometimes it can be in films, it's going woof, 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 not in, doesn't do anything.
That's interesting.
Something missing from that. But there you go. Well, I guess that's it, isn't it, for this week? Yeah. If you'd like to write to us, then please, please do. The email is dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. Or you can talk to one another and post anything you like on there. People have been doing recently. Thank you very much for doing that. Go to facebook.com/filmfandango. Or you can tweet us at filmfandango, at Mr. David Reed, or at Marek Larwood. Yes, and there should be a brief trail on the beginning of this, if everything's gone according to plan, which is just our attempt to try something new to try and get our expenses paid on this. But if you'd like to donate for listening to the past episodes where we got paid nothing, then please go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the links from there. And everyone who's donated, thank you very, very much. We will be back next week. Keep watching the films.
Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.